Tim White is my guest in the second hour. Tim is the host of the very, very popular and successful broadcast Song of the Mountains. Tim also had a bluegrass band, Troublesome Hollow. They've gotten the band back together, so to speak. You'll understand when you listen to our discussion. Troublesome Hollow has just released a brand new album entitled Old School. Now, Tim White is a member of the VW Boys, and he's also going to talk a little bit about the legendary Possum Tapes. You're going to enjoy this a lot. I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass for the first time, Tim White. How are you, Tim?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, you're welcome. Listen, this was a great opportunity, I thought, to get a chance to talk to you. Everybody out there in the audience should know Tim from a number of things, not the least of which is an absolutely beloved TV broadcast, the title of which is Song of the Mountains.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we're in our 14th season now.
Is that right?
Yeah, we started in 2005 at the beautiful historic Lincoln Theater in Marion, Virginia. It's in southwestern Virginia. People that know about Interstate 81, we're between Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee, and Wytheville. We're about halfway in between, just above Abingdon, Virginia. The theater is built in 1929. It's one of three remaining Mayan style theaters left in the United States. It's absolutely beautiful, 500 seats. And I was approached in 2005 by my friend Joe Ellis, who had this vision along with Sam Russell to do this show on TV, and they explained what their vision was and their idea, and I said, yeah, count me in. I figured it'd be a good maybe 2 or 3 year project, and I'd look ahead, and here we are in season 14.
Here you are. That's incredible.
Right, yeah.
And the format, just again, we'll get to this album by your band Troublesome Hollow, but let's tell the people about the format of Song of the Mountains, and we'll get into the reason that I wanted to speak to you initially.
Well, the format of the show of Song of the Mountains, it's on the world about 190 plus or minus at any given time, PBS outlets across the United States, potential reach of about 240 million people a year.
Wow.
And we highlight the music that was born in this region of southwestern Virginia, East Tennessee, western Kentucky, parts of West Virginia, just the, you know, bluegrass, old time, and Americana, laced with some classic country music too. We're going back to the roots that it's steeped in. It's you know, bluegrass and old time music,
yeah.
But we have a little bit of everything. That's why we call ourselves Song of the Mountains. It's a little bit of, we have Celtic gospel.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of everything, pretty much acoustic, but occasionally you'll see a drum kit on stage or an electric guitar, but nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. And I think, Tim, your audience, out of respect for you, and I'm telling you, your fans are very, very devoted, and out of that attachment and the quality, they're going to follow you right along if a drum shows up or Celtic music shows up. I think you've got the audience now. My reaction to people that watch and I watch, you can kind of edge them along and bring them into new songs and always come back to the main premise that you have. But you've got your audience, I think, tagged, and I think they're ready to follow where you want to go.
Well, I hope so, you know, and like anybody in the entertainment business, you love your devoted fans and the people that like, and occasionally somebody will say, well, I don't like Celtic music. Well, that's okay.
And that's okay, yeah.
That's okay. If you don't like it, give it 25 minutes, and there'll be another bluegrass band back on. So,
right.
You know, we have a little bit of something for everybody, but our show is heavily laced, of course, with bluegrass music.
And mountain music. It is. And it's a wonderful, you do a wonderful job. People love your participation in the show. Part of that involves you often performing.
Yeah, I get to, you know, I just thank the good Lord every day for the opportunity that he's given me to do this. Of course, when I see Joe Ellis and Sam Russell and some folks approached me almost 15 years ago now about this vision they had for the show, they did that because I had been promoting bluegrass concerts for years, you know, 15 years, maybe longer, before this show evolved. And sometimes I'd scratch my head and go, why am I doing all of this work and getting very little pay or what have you? But, you know, Steve,
yeah.
And anybody that's in this business or a picker or whatever, you do it because you have a passion for
right.
it. And, you know, I've always believed an action creates a reaction. And all of those years in the trenches doing this and promoting shows, and I just wanted to pick. I just wanted to make music. And, you know, the actions that I did years ago led to a fine, fine reaction, which has been Song of the Mountains for the past 14 years.
Well, part of that action you took, and if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Tim White. I'm very happy to talk to Tim. Part of that action years ago was a band that you were in. And one of the reasons that we're talking now is because, I guess, in the way people would understand, you got the band back together, Troublesome Hollow.
Right, yeah, that was my first serious band that joined those fellas with me in 1978. And they had a banjo picker, and he ended up falling in love. And his girlfriend, who eventually became his wife, said, "No more picking." You've seen that happen probably many times.
Yes.
And so he gave it up, and they approached me. I remember it was at Steeles Creek Park every Tuesday night. There was picking in Bristol, Tennessee. And I was green. I mean, I'd only been picking eight, maybe 10 months. And I knew of Troublesome Hollow, and I thought, wow, these guys are asking me to play the banjo with them. But, you know, I worked it hard to practice their material in 19. I guess it's 77, 78, I joined them, and, you know, we picked for 20 years together.
Wow.
And then Donnie Ollis, our guitar player, he ended up moving down to Myrtle Beach to do some work when Hurricane Hugo came through, and Gary Ollis, his brother, pretty much followed Donnie's lead. So when Donnie had to quit the band, Gary quit too, and they quit for 18 years.
How did you wind up getting back together in that? I mean, that's a long time. I'm sure you kept contact with them, but with all the things that you're doing, and we're going to touch on another matter too, which tickled me. When, by the way, I had an envelope from Tim when we had initial contact, and out came Troublesome Hollow. The new album is called Old School, and a lovely postcard crammed with information. And one other thing that we're going to hold that secret back for just a second. But how did you get back together with them?
Well, over those 18 years that they didn't pick, I approached them a couple of times. You know, tried to do a reunion show, just get back and pick, and that I couldn't break the ice. I mean, they just said no. And I think Donnie, especially our guitar player, he just felt like, you know, he had been at a certain level, and he wasn't up at that level anymore because it had been so many years since he had played. And so one night we played over at the Carter Family Fold. I played over there with Tim White and friends. It was just a throw-together band that I put together to do the Carter Family Fold, which is one of my favorite venues over at Hilton, Virginia. And I said, Donnie said, "I'm going to come listen to you." I said, "Okay." I said, "Bring your box with you." And he said, "Well, I will, so I get in free." So he brought his guitar, and at halftime, and during the intermission, I said, "Get that guitar out and come out here and pick one with us." So he did, and it hooked him again. And he called me the next week. He said, "Why don't we get together and pick some?" I said, "Well, I've only been waiting 18 years to hear you say that." So he got Gary back together, and we started picking again in 2015. And, you know, one thing led to another, and we were starting to sound pretty good, in our opinion. And we said, "Well, let's go ahead and go in the studio." And Jeremiah Nave, who's down in Madison, Tennessee, had offered, he said, if you boys want to get together and do a CD, I'd like to be the engineer and tape it at my studio. Mm-hmm. So we did. We were trying to come up with the title, and we just kind of looked at each other and looked in the mirror. We said, "Yeah, we need to call this one Old School." and, you know, it is the old school.
It is. Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about some of the selections. There's a great feel to it. But so I think that when you got Donnie to come to the Carter Fold, and when he opened that guitar case, you set the hook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he got it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, it you know, once it's in you.
Oh, it never leaves.
It never leaves.
No.
Yeah, so he just needed that catalyst of the Carter Fold and getting that guitar back out of the case. And you know, I'm just so glad he did. Those boys are like brothers to me.
There's a feel to this whole thing, Tim, that sounds, it actually, and I'm glad you explained the time that you got together, the time you played, and then the gap in there. But yeah, you do have a very strong feel of almost like all family. I know you have the two brothers, but it's almost like a family get together with a high level of energy. The singing, You're crazy enough to play a jaw harp on one of these tunes, which I have to tell you, I have a chipped tooth in the front because of one of those from when I was younger. They will do it in a heartbeat. So there's great music on here, and the whole feel of the band and the recording is just a real comfortable and devoted feel to the music that's coming out.
Well, thank you for saying that. We really enjoyed doing it. Jeremiah Nave's got a wonderful studio down there. It was comfortable. You know, it's like kicking in a living room.
Exactly, and it feels like that.
Yeah, and, you know, we do what we do, and that's what you have to do, in my opinion, as a musician. You can't compare yourself to others, and, you know, you can't try to be Dole Lawson or Del McCurry or even Bill Monroe. They've already done that and are doing that. So we've just tried to be that way. We play our style, what we do, and I think it comes across that way. And one of the things that I feel like our strong point is our three-part harmonies. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not extremely, you know, these top echelon pickers, but when we do what we do, people seem to like it, and, you know, we like it. And I learned a long time ago, when you're on stage having fun, those people out there in those seats are going to have fun, too.
That's exactly right. You make a good point, Tim, because sometimes musicians, and I don't think they mean to do it, but sometimes they're so into, let's say, the playing part of it because they have such a level of expertise, which you know, still my jaw just falls off. But sometimes they're doing it for themselves. They don't know they are, but I don't know that everyone, I don't know that everybody in the audience really gets what that banjo player. I play banjo. I don't know what all those little things. You get it. I get it. But I don't know that it really gets off the stage into the audience. But what you're talking about is getting the audience involved and getting them to enjoy the music that you're enjoying on stage.
Yeah, you want to connect. You want to go beyond the edge of that stage and connect with your audience and have fun and be comfortable. And, you know, a lot of these younger pickers especially, they're just phenomenal. Like you say, it mm-hmm. just makes your jaw drop. But, you know, in so many cases I've seen, I'm not trying to knock anyone.
No, I know. I'm agreeing with you.
But it's just, you know, they're more or less, some of them, they, maybe, you know, as they season, they'll get better.
I think that's the key.
At the yard. You don't want to pick at the yard.
Good.
You want to go beyond the edge of that stage and make them feel a part of the show.
That's a good point. That's a good way to say it, too.
We do, yeah. And, you know, I played during that 18-year period, I've had a long run and still do play with the VW boys. Comedy. So, anyway, it's been, you know, like I said earlier, I thank the good Lord every day to get up and have another adventure. Whether it's with EW Boys and now more recently reuniting with Donnie and Gary Ollis and doing the old school CD, and we're having a lot of fun too.
It's a great CD. You sample so many. There's Public Domain. There's A.P. Carter. You have Ola Bell Reed. You have original compositions. It's a nice selection, but it also has that same feel and comfort and that really I'll say comfortable energy that I feel from the whole album. Is like on every song it's there. It just feels great. It feels great. It's fun to listen to it. And I will tell you this, it makes me want to see Troublesome Hollow live because I think the joy that you're having, I think, comes through even this recording.
Well, you know, there's only so much you can do to make that come through in a recording. But, you know, I've always been a big advocate and a big believer in live concerts, and I hope your listeners will go out and support
always
your local bluegrass and hillbilly bands because we need that kind of support. But, you know, I think I'm agreeing with you. I think we've captured the essence of the good time that we have on this recording, old school, and I hope it comes across that way. We're really pleased with it.
Oh, it's really nice, and I know, Tim, and I appreciate this so much. I know that you're a little under the weather, and I know you're real busy, and so I'm not going to go like song by song, but we've talked about the feel of the album. I think you've described it very well, and this is how I feel, and I told you, and I think we're in agreement that it comes through. One of the surprises, and talk a little bit about the VW boys too. I don't want to take away from this new album, but Tim White does a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do a syndicated radio show. Of course, we've talked about Song of the Mountains. I play with the VW boys, Dave Vault and Fat Albert Blackburn. And I call him Fat Albert Blackman because that's what he likes to be called. He's a big old boy, but we started out in 1997 with Larry McPeak in the band, and Larry had health issues and eventually passed away. Larry taught me so much about singing and about music, and I really miss Larry McPeak, but Fat Albert Blackman had some big shoes to fill about 10 years ago now when Larry had to quit traveling with us, and Fat Albert's done a great job, and I tell you what, we have a big time on stage. Dave Vault's a professional magician, a great musician, and so is Fat Albert, a great singer and upright bass player. And we've just had a blast over the last, between Larry McPeak and then Fat Albert coming on board over the past 20 years, I guess. And we're still doing our thing, too.
Yeah, sure.
In the bluegrass world. But a lot, you know, you don't see the VW Boys at a lot of bluegrass festivals and so forth. We do more corporate work because we put the magic and the comedy in there more toward the front, and I think that's served us well and served bluegrass well, because when we play these corporate events, they book us a lot of times for the magic and comedy, but we get to turn them on to bluegrass music,
right.
And we have so many people come up and say, you know, we didn't think we liked bluegrass, but after seeing your show, we do. We're gonna get more of it.
I've seen the VW Boys. I've seen you live. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. That was great. It's
we
a great
have
show.
A good time.
And then, as I mentioned at the top of our discussion, as I'm opening your envelope, which I appreciate so much, and I had the old school album from Troublesome Hollow we've talked about, a nice card from you, which I immediately called you when I could get available and reach you. But the last thing to fall out of this envelope was a bumper sticker, Tim, and it says "Eat More Possum." And I thought, wait a minute, And on of the 17 selections on Old School, then I immediately looked down and I saw two songs that I remembered so well from an album that a friend of mine had. And it might have been a tape, but tell the listeners what I'm talking about, because they'll all immediately recognize it.
Well, you're talking about two songs that we brought back from 1990 and put on this. It's kind of like a couple of bonus cuts from 1995, Pounds of Possum, a song that I wrote. And then we did a parody, Possum on the Run, of course, a parody of Fox on the Run. Yeah, and I think neither one of those songs were ever released on a Troublesome Hollow project, so to speak. This is really the first time. Now, I did put it on the Possum tapes.
Exactly.
Jim and Jesse McReynolds helped me back. It's 25 years this year. We recorded the Possum tapes, and people like Roy Husky Jr. were on it, Glenn Duncan, Jimmy Martin, late great Randall Hilton. I'm going to leave people out.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, but it was great music, and everybody, at least in my era, for I told you the other day when we were talking about doing this, a friend of mine got it at a festival somewhere, and we loved it. And we kept saying, these are neat, funny songs, and 5 Pounds of Possum, boy, it's great. But man, these guys are tearing it up.
Well, it was a novelty project, and that's really where 5 Pounds of Possum first showed up. Novelty project, but you and I talked off the microphone about it. It's great music, if I do say myself,
with all
those fine pickers on it.
Oh yeah, it really is, and so I got tickled by that. It's kind of like the rebirth of the Possum Tapes Part 2 or something.
It is. And later this year too, I've got a fellow publicist working with me named Fred Anderson, and We're going to do a little campaign later this year on the 25th anniversary of the Possum Tape. So look for that coming out by the end of 2018.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So of the 17 tunes, we've talked about the nature of the album as a whole. The 15 and 16 are, you said, the parody of Possum on the Run, which is dead on, Fox on the Run, 5 Pounds. And the very last tune, is you on banjo playing Star Spangled Banner?
Yeah, I'm an Eagle Scout, and I will say Boy Scout. I'm an Eagle. I'm proud of that.
I know why you said that, by the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, but a lot of people do.
That's from today's news, I know.
And you know, I'm a patriot. I love our country. And I don't try to get too political. I think that's too big of a mistake that people do, but I am proud. I've had relatives that's died for the flag. Mm-hmm. I visit their graves, and I just thought, I played the Star Spangled Banner slow at a slow pace so that people can reflect on it and think about it and hopefully hum along and think about the words as I play it just with the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud of that.
It's real nice. It's very pretty. Listen, I haven't talked to you about what you play. What kind of banjo are you playing on this album?
I've got an old, it's an old kind of banjo that Jerry Keys, who's a well-known banjo picker and luthier up in our parts, he's from Gray, Tennessee. About years ago, he put a five-string neck in it for Tony Ellis. It's a 1937 pot on it,
mm-hmm.
and he put a five-string neck in it, so I guess now it's an RB3, but it's an old banjo, and that old banjo's taken me and my wife, Penny, all around the world. It's just been a great trip, and I remember my dad bought me that banjo.
No kidding.
I think in 1976 for my birthday, and I had a little cheap area banjo, and Tony Ellis lived in my neighborhood back then. A lot of people remember Tony. He played years ago,
yeah.
Back in the 60s, and Tony had that banjo for sale, and I about melted, and I wanted it so bad, but I didn't have $1,000. That's what it cost back then. I didn't have. You might as well have been a million. But my dad did, he knew that I showed promise on the banjo, and I had very supportive parents. My dad, Bob White, he's a rare bird, and my late mother, who passed away in 1993, I wish she could have gotten to see a lot of what's happened with that old banjo and Song of the Mountains, and somehow I feel like she has.
I'm going to ask you where people can find you and where they can get a hold of you and track you down and get a hold of this new old school album. Let me tell you this. You had an aria. My first one was a K, I think. We all had one of those. We all had one of those. And when we found something that was even, the next grade up, it was like, well, it's not that hard to play at all. I mean, it is, but the sound you get out of them is like 1,000 times better, so you're so thrilled. So I'm
glad. I hope you still have that old K.
I traded it in because that's what we do. I traded it in to get an upgrade, which at that time was Univox was a label on a banjo, very similar to the Ibanez, but not that quality. Remember those in the 70s? So it was like right along there just below that. And so I traded my K because I wanted to get that one because it had a tone ring, and I thought I was in heaven
on top
at that
of the
point.
World.
Oh, buddy! So I wish I had my hay, got my K still. I wish I did. But I don't.
Well, I still got that old area. It hangs in my living room, and I started collecting autographs on it.
Oh, cool!
And about 2 years ago, I went and pulled it off the wall. I was going to show my buddy, one of my buddies, Lester Flatt's autograph I got. And it had faded.
Oh.
You could barely see it. It broke my heart.
You put it on the head? You got him on the head?
Yeah, I put it on the head. Yeah. He did it in ballpoint pen.
Oh, okay.
And checked it out. If you know what to look for, you can see it.
Yeah.
It's faded. But, that's one of my faults. I throw nothing away. And I've still got that old guitar.
Great.
I mean, that old banjo.
That's cool.
From the 70s.
Listen, Tim, talking to Tim White, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about we've already given you a lot of history of Tim, which goes on and on and on, and it's all good stuff. And Tim has a brand new album with kind of a reunited band of his, Troublesome Hollow. The band is old school. Tim, I want you to tell people there must be a website, right?
Oh, yeah, TroublesomeHollow.com, TroublesomeHollow.com. And if you want information on Song of the Mountains, that's easy, too. It's Song of the Mountains, plural, on the mountain. songofthemountains.org, and my contact information is there, or there's one more I'll lay on you.
Yes,
TimWhiteEntertainment.com.
Okay.
And that's kind of catches a lot of what I do.
Okay.
So I really appreciate you having me on the show.
I'm thrilled.
Troublesome Hollow, and I got a little goodie bag in the mail for you actually today of you said that your positive tapes got lost somewhere along the way.
Yeah, yes.
got another one in the mail to you and some VW boys.
Oh, I'll use it. I'll make good use of it, Tim. I appreciate that. Listen, but I know you're not feeling well, and it's late at night where you are, so get some rest. And I do appreciate Tim White. It's been a blast. I enjoy Troublesome Hollow, and I'm so glad you got the gang back together again to do another album. It's a blast.
Well, thank you, Steve, for everything that you do for bluegrass music. And let's do this again sometime.
We will. I'll tell you what. If you do an anniversary of the Possum Tape, we can do it for other things too. But if you do what you just described a few minutes ago, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we will be doing that later this year.
I'll find Jim. We'll talk about it.
All right, Steve.
Okay, Tim, you take care, bud.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.